Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest.
For our Halloween show, we've got Johnny Vatos of Oingo Boingo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Morning. Yeah, so cool. Johnny Vatos, that's great. It's our Halloween edition of Daily Scramble Live. You'll hear our entire ghost hunting adventure with OC Ghosts and Legends.
Yeah, and I really can't think of a better guest, man. On Halloween, Boingo Dance Party is what they play as now. Johnny Vatos, Dead Man's Party. We've got them in studio, at least Johnny Vatos today. I think it's pretty cool.
No, it's great. It's a big deal. Plus, we'll taste some essential pumpkin treats. Not sure. You know, I'm not really a big pumpkin fan. Okay, during breakfast on the beach with Chef Alan Miller. It's going to be great.
Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
First up in local news, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Scrambly. Independent Newsroom.
Scrambly news.
It's a busy morning. It's going to be fun. Here's some news.
Okay.
While Boo Blast gives local children an early taste of the year's spookiest holiday, the main event, of course, arrives tomorrow, October 31st. A witch's cauldron full of events are brewing. That's what the indie wrote. A witch's cauldron full of events are brewing. Importantly, beware traffic.
Is brewing. A witch's cauldron is brewing.
Should interesting. It be? Interesting.
That's what they mean, right?
Yeah, is. Importantly, beware of traffic closures beginning at 5 p.m. tomorrow at Brooks and Oak Streets. That's, of course, where all the favorite trick-or-treating locations are, and we will be there broadcasting live and playing music. There's Halloween fun tonight as well. Ken and Kristen Saunders will hold open their House of Horrors at 337 Bluebird Canyon Drive starting at 7:30 p.m. Actors include their son Patrick and their daughter Peyton and school friends, and proceeds go to the Maliola Foundation. Or you can join Dia de los Muertos. There's a party and fundraiser at the Sandra Jones Campbell Art Studio, 2173 Laguna Canyon Road, beginning at 8 p.m. tonight. Tickets are $30. So tomorrow for Oak and Brook Streets, you're going to want to maybe stop by Chrissy Hanlon's Haunted House at 655 Brook Street. And, of course, the Taub Party at 490 Oak Street. That's where we're going to be playing music from. And if you can bring a Costco-sized bag of candy, that would help anybody. That would
be very good for us,
it
yeah.
would help anybody out yeah. there, because it gets mad and candy goes quick.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, actually. Even though, you know, Halloween's not my thing, I'm getting into the spirit of it. It happens to me every single year.
Just yesterday, you were curmudgeonly.
Oh, I do it, and I do it about Christmas, too.
Yeah.
I'll be the same Grinch until about 3 days before, and I'm shopping, and I'm like, wow, this is actually a lot of fun. Come on.
So you have your costume worked out?
I have no costume worked out.
We'll work on that later.
Yeah.
All right, some other local news this morning. Heading to the Susie Q Center or the Water District, expect more than the usual parking slowdown for the next few weeks. No parking signs went up along Forest and 3rd Street in order to divert traffic for a sewer construction project. It's getting underway near Loma Terrace, the street behind City Hall.
Yeah.
Next week, the contractor will begin moving in equipment and supplies, and the following week start excavating. To ensure no one is surprised by the project, the construction team met with nearly all of the merchants along Forest and 3rd Street last Friday.
Feel bad for the people of Loma Terrace. I used to live on Loma Terrace. Did I ever tell you that?
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, I lived on there before the Susie Q was built, and it was all old houses and higgledy-piggledy. And they began construction then. And it's literally not, it hasn't stopped, you know. It's
like, so this is nothing
10
new.
10 years ago. Yeah.
This is a really interesting story outside of Laguna. A 16-year-old Crook County, Oregon girl has been diagnosed with the bubonic plague.
Oh, my God.
According to Oregon health officials. The Oregon Health Authority says the girl likely acquired the disease from a flea bite during a hunting trip near Heppner on October 16th. She got sick 5 days later and was admitted to the intensive care unit at a Bend hospital. No other people in Crook County have been infected with the bubonic plague yet.
She got it from Heppner. You see, I told you, you should never go near that guy. He's riddled with disease, Hugh Heppner. Isn't he? God, bubonic plague. She's got the bubos.
She has the plague. The plague is
the
here.
The actual plague.
This is the plague.
Yeah.
When people say you've got the plague, it's that.
It's definitely going to call for an overhaul of our medical situation in this country. My God. And it does come from little fleas, and they travel on rats. That's why they had to kill all the rats in London.
Mm.
And that killed all the fleas, and then, wow.
How did we got rid of it, though?
600 years ago.
Yeah, but how? But I don't understand.
Bring out your dead. It's going to be that on the streets of Laguna.
No, in Oregon.
And it won't even be in Halloween. Bring out your dead. I'm not dead. You will be soon.
All right. Elsewhere in national news this morning, New Yorkers applying for jobs will no longer be required to disclose criminal history thanks to new legislation. The Fair Chance Act, or FCA, amends New York civil rights law, thus prohibiting most employers from inquiring about criminal history until after a conditional offer for employment. Activists say legislation passed on Tuesday is the most progressive law of its type in the country and the most far-reaching because New York is the largest city where a policy like this has been enacted.
Yeah, we did a story yesterday about the percentage of people who have been or will be or are in jail. Everyone's been in jail. Employers, just going to have to shrug your shoulders.
Yeah.
You've been in jail? Oh, well, yeah, so what? So
right.
Have I.
And now it doesn't matter.
It'd
in
be
New
more
York.
Like conversation. Which jail were you in? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, me too, yeah.
That should be the question.
It's going to be one of those.
Instead of what's your criminal history?
Yeah, and instead of the old boys club, it'll be which jail you went to.
All right, you're going to love... I think you're really going to like this last story. It's really morbid, but I think you're going to like it.
Okay.
The ISIS recruit, Dennis Cuspert, also known as Abu Tala al-Almani, who once went by the name Deso Dog in the Berlin rap scene, was killed in a U.S. strike. He was a German rapper who decided to join ISIS.
Mm.
And he was once quoted saying, "Jihad is fun." And he converted to Islam and went with this pro-jihadi group in Germany. And now he's been killed.
You know what? At least he was honest. There's integrity there somewhere. Jihad is fun. That's why people do it.
It can't be.
That's why they do it. You know, nobody, it's not a sacrifice, although it was for him in the end.
You know, say what you will about musician deaths, but I think his popularity is going to skyrocket.
I think he's
skyrocketing now.
I'm kind of jealous of his career at this point, yeah. Oh, well, that's the problem. That's the thing about, you know, these young jihadi rappers. They blow up really fast. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Very well done.
Thank you very much.
You didn't even prepare that.
No.
All right. Let's finish the headline.
You're welcome.
That was really great. A guy stopped a burglar by stabbing him with a...
Finish the headline.
Wow, a cheese knife. A child.
Very close.
Oh.
The first one.
Okay.
A pumpkin carving knife.
Wow.
Tis the season, of course. A guy named Brian Hackney was in his home in Arlington, Texas. Guy came in, went through his wife's purse. Turns out he was carving pumpkins with his little girl in the kitchen and stabbed him with a pumpkin knife. Now, I don't know if it's one of those small, like, orange, not serrated ones.
I don't know what a pumpkin knife looks like.
It's usually, like, a plastic. Like, it's not really much of a knife at all.
But right.
Anyway, he stabbed him, held him down with a pumpkin knife, and the cops came. All was good.
Great.
That's great.
Yeah, you never hear of anybody... I never hear of anybody stopping a burglar or a criminal with a gun, which is why people supposedly have guns.
No.
But somebody's done it with a pumpkin knife. Well... Good luck to you. Big hero to his kids now, that guy.
Totally.
Brilliant.
Do you have any good pumpkin death puns? Like your last one?
No. No.
I don't think you can ever top that one.
No.
That was great.
Yeah. Thinking hard. Can you hear the wheels turning?
I can.
Yeah, but no, it's not coming.
All right. Not long now, we'll start telling you about our ghost hunting paranormal adventure and playing you some clips and sounds from Black Star Canyon. Are you excited, Jason Fetty?
I am absolutely over the moon. Good morning. It's Halloween-y!
Halloween's tomorrow.
Ah, definitely is, yeah. And we went and did a Halloween-y thing the other night, which we're very excited to share with you. There are organisations all over, you know, I mean, various theme parks change their whole deal for Halloween and it becomes a thing. And people are always looking for new ways to celebrate and to make it interesting. But certainly for adults, kids, you know, give them a bag of candy.
Sure.
Pretty happy. But for adults, there are always new ways, innovative ways to celebrate the holiday and to sort of just get all ghostly and ghouly. So, Tyler called me a few weeks ago and he goes, "We're going ghost hunting." And I went, "No, we're not." I'm like, "No, no, no. I'm washing my hair that night. You know, I've got things to do." But in the end, I went and had a really great night. And this is what we're about to talk about. There's an organization. What are they called, Ty?
They're called OC Ghosts and Legends. OCGhostsandLegends.com, led by this guy, Chris, who really is just a great dude. And they give tours of places like San Juan Capistrano, the Star of India, which is an old ship in San Diego. Yeah. The Grand Canyon Caverns and Black Star Canyon is kind of their signature tour that we experienced with them.
So you go, well, Chris is going to explain in our first clip that we're going to play you. Chris, who was, again, as Tyler says, really great guy, a little twinkle in his eye, and you'll hear him, and he's just a good dude, and he'll explain what it is that they actually do. And remember, we're in the pitch dark in a parking lot just on the edge of Black Star Canyon when you hear this audio.
Okay, so we're here with Chris from OC Ghosts and Legends, and his whole team is here. And we want to kind of have an understanding of what this place is, what we're about to do, and maybe some of the things, hopefully, that our listeners will hear. So, Chris, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your company, OC Ghosts and Legends, and the sort of paranormal investigations you do.
Gotcha. Well, hello, I'm Chris, and I own and operate Orange County Ghosts and Legends. And by default, we are a paranormal investigative team, which means that we do actually research and investigate alleged haunted locations, one of which is where we are standing here, Black Star Canyon. Other locations, San Juan Capistrano, the Star of India, San Diego, Grand Canyon Caverns, you name it. We also investigate private homes. People do call us, and they are either concerned about the weird, strange things that happen in their home. A lot of them can be explained. Sometimes they can't. But we take pride in finding those hidden gems, those unique locations that not everybody knows about. We've been investigating Black Star Canyon for well over 5 years. We come out here often, almost every week. We do take the public out here. But periodically, just for our own education and to keep up with the data and the things that we collect, we do come out here to investigate on a somewhat regular basis when we're not with the public. So that can mean we're out here in the early morning hours. We definitely want to avoid as much people traffic as possible so we don't have a bunch of noise and people talking in the background. But Black Star Canyon is definitely a signature tour for us, or a location, because it has its lore, it has its legends, and we're looking forward to telling you all about it.
Yeah, so it's really dark, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and there's this group of people, and we've never met them before, and this guy's telling us he's going to take us off into this canyon, and he was great. He was really great. He was knowledgeable, and he wouldn't express an opinion about the paranormal either way. It was leaving it all up to our own experiences.
Right. So you're encouraged to go in with this open-minded but skeptic attitude. You're allowed to have that.
Yeah.
You're allowed to go in thinking nothing's going to happen. You're not going to experience anything. You may or may not see a ghost. And they don't even say there's a ghost over there. They say you may experience stuff that your peripheral or your, you know, the inner workings of your mind or gut really just don't feel right about, which is kind of what I wanted to leave doing.
I felt that was true. I also felt that he didn't. He encouraged me to be skeptical because I was skeptical, and encouraged you to be scared because you were scared. I think that he was really clever and really open. He was open-minded about the people that he was bringing with him.
Yeah,
everybody has their own experience. There were people there, let's be honest, who were so desperate to see a ghost that every single little thing that they, every tree was a ghost, everything, you know. So there's almost a sort of religious aspect to it, isn't there, that people really believe.
Right. And Black Star Canyon, you know, has a big history of kids and teens and paranormal teams going there to investigate it. It's not an uncommon place to look at because there's a lot of Native American history there. There's an old coal mine there that's really quite creepy in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
People have died there. It's a scary place. Fortunately, we had nearly a full moon, a super moon, so it was very bright out for us.
It was really bright, yeah. But it was dark and it was creepy. And so after the next question you asked, Chris, was what happened here that makes this place so special?
Do you have something that you believe happens here or happened here to cause the sorts of paranormal activity that you get?
This is a Native American territory, but whatever takes place here, we believe, could be either what's called residual activity, which is almost like an imprint in time or a stamp in time. It's just repeating itself. But it is possible that there's something intelligent here, meaning it can see us. It can interact with us on purpose. Now, I can't say I have experienced certain intelligent entities, and that's just me. I think I've seen weird things out here that could be residual. I have had a unique experience or two that I can't explain, and maybe we'll get to that in a little bit, but other people have certain experiences that are very fascinating that I can't say did or didn't happen, but they can tell you for themselves, and we got a couple people who can share some of those.
So let's talk about some of the sorts of tools we have with us and the sorts of things we're going to do to try to capture activity or create some of those experiences. So does anybody want to chime in on what you have and what we're going to be using it for? Okay, Andrew, tell us about whatever you got.
Okay, so Kathy's favorite toy.
Is that what we'll pick up sounds or EVPs from that thing?
Yes. Before I actually joined the team, I went on the tour with Chris, and we had ended up asking him a bunch of questions, and we got something that came through that said Rusty twice, and we asked him, what's your name? And Rusty came out twice. We could not explain or know what came through.
Right.
I'm a bit rusty. I'm rusty. So they're saying there are two kinds of spooks. I think that's the wrong nomenclature. I think I'm offending.
Spirits.
Spirits.
You're supposed
that's
to
right.
say spirits.
Spirits. There's the what they call residual. So that's like a movie, a loop that's playing. And now listen, trust me, I understand that the science is not there.
Well, here's what it's supposed to be, right? Because spirits are not supposed to be able to be captured by the naked eye or by the naked ear.
Yeah.
So you bring this, you know, Spirit 3000 box, and you bring a digital camera, essentially, and you take photos and you listen for sounds and you try to discover EVPs, which are, I can't remember what it stands for now, something that you can't hear but shows up in a recorder, or some anomaly in a photo that wasn't there when you took it. And now you can admit, this guy Matt, who was with us, showed us some photos that looked very clearly like shadowy men standing in the forest.
Right, right. In our next clip, he's going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And he's also going to explain what EVP stands for, I think.
Oh, excellent.
But you've got to remember, so there are the kinds of ghosts or spirits that are like an imprint in time, they're saying. So it's like a replay of something which occurred, maybe certainly in the past. Or there's the kind of spirit which is literally there and can interact with you. And we're looking for either one of those.
So when we're done tonight, hopefully what we'll have to share on the air is maybe a sound that we can't explain, or maybe an image that we can't explain. So who's got the camera?
I got a camera.
Oh, you got a camera. Do you not have your camera tonight?
I have my phone here.
So just maybe Matt, you could just talk about some of the images you've captured before, and basically why we take photos, why stuff can show up in photos.
Well, the reason why we do the photos is because a lot of these spirits, as they call them, you know, you can't really see them with the naked eye, and so that's why you do the the photography, or even the when we do the EVPs, they'll usually tend to hear it on the EVP as opposed to actually hearing it with your naked ears. But as far as the photos, it's more like proof, you know. When you're telling somebody about something, if you got proof to back it up, there's kind of like, there goes your skeptics right out the window. And so that's why I just love to take photos.
Yeah, they're cool. We should put them on our website. You mentioned EVP. What is that?
Electronic voice phenomenons. You know, that's something that we can't pick up with our human ears, but on the digital recorders, they can. and that's why every investigator carries them.
And is it just because of the frequency that these things work at that the human ear doesn't? Why can it hear it?
I think maybe it's a frequency thing. It's kind of like, you know, a dog, you know, kind of like a dog's hearing. You know, they can hear certain sounds that we can't. And I think it's kind of the same with, I guess, spirits. They just communicate on a different frequency because they're just energy.
Yeah.
I just feel sorry for the millennia of ghosts sitting around waiting for digital technology to come along so they could finally communicate with the living.
I know, and I feel bad about mock. That was my last mock.
Oh, you turned real after a little bit.
I tried to turn real. Well, because it's not fair to mock. And the whole thing is to be getting to the spirit, pardon the pun, of the whole night and everything. So to just wander around mocking, I would have been lonely. I would have been the lonely mocker. And I don't want to be the lonely mocker. So even though everybody sort of laughed at my little joke there about digital equipment, I felt bad about that because people are there to have an experience.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're getting to the point, we're getting to the fact later on in this whole broadcast of an experience that we had.
Right. So we've talked, now we've set the scene. You know, we've talked about what the equipment that people have gotten, and you get the feeling, and depending on how skeptical or believing that you are, you get the feeling that there's some people out here with some equipment looking for something, some phenomenon that's not easy to explain.
Right.
So now you get the idea. That sets the scene for what now. We set off walking, and we walk for a couple of miles deep into this wood.
Yeah.
You can imagine at night in a wood, I mean, I must say that I felt okay with seven people around me. But if you'd been on your own in that wood, man, it was spooky.
So we're going to go to a break, but we're going to come back and kind of start revealing some of the sounds and experiences and things that happened to us when we went ghost hunting this week in Black Star Canyon with OC Ghosts and Legends. This is our Halloween special.
We got a noise? Got a Halloween noise?
I definitely have a Halloween noise.
We definitely want one into this next song. There it is. Huh?
You're listening to the Halloween special of Daily Scramble Live.
Yeah.
Here on KX93.5. Mm-hmm. And we're sharing with you our paranormal investigation. Jason and I went ghost hunting this week with OC Ghosts and Legends in Black Star Canyon. And we already kind of set the scene for you and told you about why the canyon may be haunted and some of the tools that we use to go ghost hunting. And now we're going to get to the good stuff.
Yeah, we were looking for a presence, weren't we? And
or a feeling.
A feeling, or something. Or people, I think that some people really were convinced they were going to see something tangible.
Yeah.
Or just a feeling. But people did talk about, as we were walking toward our next stop on this tour of the woods, people were saying, you know, sometimes you'll feel a little chilly, change in temperature, or a little, maybe you'll feel something tug on your coat, or maybe you'll hear a strange noise that just shouldn't be there, something out of place, out of space. So some cyclists, we should set this up just to let you know what was happening. We stopped on a corner and some cyclists who were cycling at night with their lights on, obviously, zoomed past us and went off into the night. And we Tyler and I, anyway, didn't know the terrain. So we didn't know which way the road went or whatever. We weren't sure whether we were still hearing the cyclists or what was going on. So, but we certainly heard something, and you'll hear at the very beginning of this audio, we'll probably play it again.
Yeah.
Just to emphasize it, but you really do hear something which is an odd sound to hear in the middle of the night in a wood.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that sounds.
Should we play it again?
Right?
Play
like
it
again.
It's that sort of sound at the beginning. One more time.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that sounds feline.
It sounded like a growl.
Yeah, that sounded feline.
Yeah, and I saw something move across there really quick.
It sounded like a growl.
No, it could have been.
Are you the people on the
nope.
bikers?
Nope.
That was a scream. Tag nope. your audio for the last 20 seconds and listen.
Tag
back to
it. Audio, last 20 seconds.
That was unnerving.
That was great. Let's hear that back.
It may have been the people on the bike, so you don't really know.
It really
so.
Could have been.
I thought I heard a growl a little bit ago.
It was definitely a growl, right?
I thought we saw something shoot across there.
But you would have heard
it. It may have been the light from the bike.
But you didn't hear?
Just further back, I did hear something move around back there.
But you would have heard the...
Yeah, did you
if
hear?
It was,
you
if didn't he hear had a season.
Sounded like a growl.
Sounded like a growl to me.
It sounded like a growl.
It could have been one of the people on the bike making a noise or something.
I don't know.
But if
I don't know.
I think that sounded like a scream to me.
What?
Like a male, like a male yell.
Like a wah.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's what it sounded like.
So then that would be the bikes.
I think it was the bike.
So everyone's slowly starting to lose it, right? That's what's happening. And that's what's happening to me here because things are starting to happen and I'm starting to get really like, you know, just stressed out.
It's so odd that that's what was happening for you at that moment because you hear me say, that was great.
Yeah.
And what was happening for me at that moment, I was starting to realize where I was and what I got orientated. Is that the word?
Oriented.
And I realized, wait, this is really unusual and great, especially for those of us that live in Orange County and California, who live in our cars and we never really communicate with people that we don't know very well. And you and I interview people every day, but generally that's the sort of norm of life in California. And I thought, wait a minute, there's a bunch of people who don't know each other, who have got a goal in mind or a certain sphere of goals in mind, and we're out in nature. And we're walking, so that's good exercise. So that's a positive thing. And we're talking about what's happening now.
Yeah.
What's really... And that's really... does that sound like...
No, there's something very real about it, very human about it all.
Yeah, that we don't experience that kind of thing very often.
Yeah. Kathy and I are best friends because she was just as scared as I was, and we'd never met before. But
yeah.
By the end of the night, Kathy and I were holding each other.
Really?
Yeah, so...
She was really nice, Kathy. They were all really nice to a man.
But you're
and
right.
A girl.
But you come together. You come together in this experience when you're out there doing something so strange and quirky that
right.
you've never done before.
And you're in the moment. It's not a support group like you're talking about your past or something that happened to you and trying to relate. You don't have to try to relate because you all had the same experience.
Yeah.
So it was really great at that point. I started to really enjoy it.
So it starts to build up, and where do we go next after the growl occurs?
Wait a minute, I've got my notes here. More noise. There are more noises. There's more stuff going on.
Right around this time.
Right around this time. And the first voice you hear is, because every now and again, Chris would stop and describe maybe where we are and perhaps a legend about what happened in that place.
Right.
So now we're standing in the dark, and people are beginning to sort of let go a little bit and behave in a way that they normally would on these things, which is they're convinced there's something around and they begin speaking to it and trying to get it to respond.
So what we'll do is we're going to stand as stationary as possible. We'll want to be as quiet as we can. And we'll document any noises such as stomach growling. If anybody whispers...
Run this and ask questions and see if that thing will go off or something. I don't know.
Is there anybody here? Can you make that device light up over there?
And we just want you to know that that won't hurt you. If you are even able to see the lights, you can go up to it and it won't harm you at all. We promise. But this is how you can communicate with us.
I just heard something.
What was
it? A branch or something.
I totally heard a cough right then. Did you hear that?
Chris. Look.
What do you see?
Right there. Look. You see this tree right here? Right to the right of it. Look. See it? It moved. It moved. Right there. See it? See it? No, no.
Are we talking animal here?
No, no, no. It was a shadow. Cut your light off. Turn your light off. Okay, it's gone. You see, it's this tree right here. It was right.
I hate fire.
It was here at the tree. It was right there. Right there.
What would you describe it?
It started from here, and I seen it move. It moved right, and it stopped right here. And it was just standing there. It was standing there doing this.
Would you describe a height?
Maybe about 5 feet, maybe. It wasn't very tall.
Okay.
And it was just going back and forth.
How
like
long
it was looking at us.
How long did you say it stood there for?
Oh, my God. What, 5, 10 seconds? Because I seen it when it moved.
from here to this side of the tree to right there. I seen it.
All right, you can hear the rest of us nervously talking in the background.
Right.
Because we're all like, what is going on here? This guy was really serious. I mean, he saw something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just to remind people, this is us ghost hunting in Black Star Canyon, our Daily Scramble Live Halloween special on KX93.5 that we did with OC Ghosts and Legends. And we're building up to things that were happening to us. And that's when things started to get a little more real.
Things started getting weird at that point.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And we have all the tools out now. We have the thing on the ground that senses energy as it passes by that looks like it's out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
It was some sort of motion sensor, something like that.
Right.
I mean, I have no idea what it was, but it had lights on it, and it made a...
Right.
...noise when he went by it.
And Matt had an energy reader, so that if there was some piece of energy that passed by us that wasn't us, then it would go off as well.
Yeah. This is, again, the science, not that great.
All right, so what happens next to us?
Well, we're actually building up to a bit of a crescendo. What number is this time?
We're on six.
We're on six.
Yeah.
All right. So at this point, we're in probably the darkest part of the whole excursion. As you say, the moon was pretty bright. But now we're on a little bridge, and the trees are in a kind of tunnel of trees.
And we'd walked a long way.
And we had walked a long way.
We'd passed the old coal mine, and we'd passed old ranches, and we'd walked a long way.
Part of the thing about Orange County, of course, is that the history's not that long. So we were looking for, like, the oldest places around. And this was an old, 150-year-old coal mine that very, you know, long time closed. And now we're on a bridge between, over a creek, kind of dryish creek, and... It's probably the most claustrophobic part of the whole experience. And we stop, and everybody's very quiet, and you'll hear what happens.
This is what we've been building up to.
Yeah.
I just want to say, here you go.
What you'll get is maybe like a twig falling. You'll get some leaves falling. As far as the consistency, it's pretty heavy with the consistency right now.
Yeah.
I guess on average, you might get a leaf, some leaves moving once in a while. But as far as the loudness of things dropping, some heavy things that are dropping right now, that's unusual.
And it almost seems like, I mean, it could be coincidental, but whenever we ask a question, it seems to be responding with a loud noise.
Right. It could be coincidental, but it's... And it's moving around us, which is interesting.
Yeah. So what Chris is saying is that there's some noise. You're asking him. And by the way, we're out in Black Star Canyon, and it's dark, and we're looking for ghosts, and there's certainly an atmosphere of tension at this point because there's stuff falling out of the trees, or we can hear noises. And every time somebody says, hello, or are you there, we hear another noise. Like there's a bunch of activity going on here that we can't really explain because we can't see anything. Because it's dark. And, okay, it's fall. So, I don't know. At this point, I'm like, I didn't want to say anything because there was, you know, tense atmosphere. But Chris is saying, yeah, we do experience at this time of year stuff. I mean, there are critters around and blah, blah, blah. And then this happens.
Interesting.
There could be more than one.
Can you make something fall behind us now? On this side where the grid is not out?
We're going to give you about 1 or 2 minutes, and then we're walking back. This is your opportunity. You got to talk to us.
Whoa.
Holy shit. What was that?
It was time to go.
Oh, my God. I'm so ready.
Did you hear that?
You're smiling. How are you smiling?
It's not like you.
It's not like...
Yeah.
Everybody make sure that they're...
Wow. I have goosebumps. I'm so done.
Silent. It's all right, buddy.
Dude, that was loud.
It was loud. Whatever that was, it was loud.
It still made me jump. Here in studio, it made me jump.
You leapt and you literally hugged me. I thought you were going to start humping my leg at any minute. You were certainly there. But, you know, and you say to me, why are you smiling? Because it was a loud noise, and I don't know. I've been in the woods before.
This was something that they say, I mean, obviously branches fall, and you can chalk that up to animals or whatever it was, but this sounded like
a demon snapping a branch in half. To me, that's what I thought was happening in that moment. I want to play it again. This is the loud crack that kind of crescendoed our night.
What you'll get is maybe like a twig falling. You'll get some leaves falling. As far as the consistency, it's pretty heavy with the consistency right now.
Yeah.
I guess on average, you might get a leaf, some leaves moving once in a while. But as far as the loudness of things dropping, some heavy things that are dropping right now, that's unusual.
And it almost seems like, I mean, it could be coincidental, but whenever we ask a question, it seems to be responding with a loud
I don't think
noise.
This is the right piece
right.
of body.
It could be coincidental, but it's...
No, that's the beginning of it. That's right. Wait.
We're going to give you about
Here we go.
1 or 2 minutes, and then we're walking back. This is your opportunity.
Whoa.
Whoa! Yeah,
it's a firecracker.
It's a well,
it's a gunshot.
No,
it's so loud.
It's a mountain lion stepping on a twig.
No way!
Listen, there's a million trees out there, okay, and 1% of them has got something hanging from it that's precariously balanced, and it's gonna, you know, but it was scary. It was a scary moment, and it could. You're right. You're absolutely right. It could have been the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. I have no idea.
The buildup, though, of getting there
yeah.
and asking questions all night.
Yeah.
And up to this point, Matt had been asking it, if you're there, come closer. If you're there, be louder. If you're there, show us you're here.
Yeah.
And then Chris says, all right, you have one last chance. And then, boom!
Right. And it was, you know, it wasn't so dark that you couldn't see everybody. Nobody, that wasn't a trick that somebody played. And Chris, who, as I say, had a twinkle in his eyes, done this many times before, and he wasn't about to express an opinion about the paranormal either way.
He lost it.
He lost it at that point. He really
lost
it.
That's when I got really scared, because the guy who was level-headed the whole time
yeah.
and was a skeptic the whole time for our sake
yeah.
suddenly lost it.
Yeah.
And all of us started cussing, as you heard. I mean, we lost our wits about us
That's
as
right.
well.
No, the leader, Chris, was bug-eyed at that point, and he was really great. And if you want to go on this thing, it's really worth doing. Because Chris is great. He's a total balance between the people who are desperate to see something. He'll say to them, oh, no, wait a minute. That's probably just a, you know, some sort of rat or something running around. And then people like me who are very skeptical, he'll gently say to you, well, you don't know what that is, and we don't know, and we're just here to observe.
Right.
So he was really very well-balanced guy.
So we should mention that this group we went out with, OC Ghosts and Legends, does have an event tonight. They're doing a live stream and lockdown at the Camino Real Playhouse. And you can go meet and greet with them. You can do a pre-investigation. And then you can watch the stream of them investigating Camino Real Playhouse, which is a legendary haunted spot in San Juan Capistrano. So that's tonight at 9 p.m. You can go to OCGhostsandLegends.com to learn more and to get your tickets. So what now, Jason? Are we saying goodbye to our ghost
friends? We're
saying
goodbye, and he actually repeats the information you just said. But, yeah. We'll see what materializes. Huh?
I got it.
You get that one?
So we made it out alive.
Well, yeah, then. We're good. It was really fun.
It was. You were way less scared than I ended up being.
I know, and I thought I was going to be scared, but I really wasn't scared. I just remember that I had spent a lot of time in the woods as a child. So, but I really had a good time, and I'm not going to say, I don't know. I didn't see anything particularly paranormal, but who knows? On another occasion, one might. And that's not really the point.
Well, and I was definitely convinced at certain moments, especially when I felt goosebumps and shivering and a sudden urge that I just wanted to get the hell out of there.
I know. So you kept reaching for me. You embraced me a couple of times.
I was done.
Tyler,
I
noticed that.
I witnessed that.
Yeah, you did witness that.
I got to say, I can back that
and
up.
And I met some nice people, and we had good conversation, and been a great night.
Yeah, you all were wonderful. Thank
you.
Chris, thank you for doing this with us. So again, tell people where they can go, your website, what sort of tours they can book, and then you have something tonight at the Playhouse in San Juan Capistrano.
Yes, first of all, thank you guys for being such good sports and coming out with us, and I will say that we had a pretty good night for as far as potential activity, and we're going to be reviewing some video and some audio. The Camino Playhouse San Juan Capistrano, we are running our first
first live feed investigation. But before that, at 9 o'clock p.m., we are inviting everybody out to join us for a panel, question and answer, meet and greet. We're going to talk ghost stories. We're going to talk the history of the Camino. We're going to play and reveal one of our most profound EVPs that we actually captured at the Camino Playhouse. And the best part, this is going to a good cause. All proceeds will benefit the Camino Playhouse. So come on out, join us. We're setting the stage and the scene for the Playhouse. We're definitely getting in the mood and the vibe for Halloween. So
when is
that? Tonight. Friday night.
Oh, great. Okay. And the website again?
Our website is ocghostsandlegends.com. You can check out all the information, buy tickets or tours, the Playhouse. We would love to have you guys come out, and thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
What a blast.
Yeah, man, this is fun, man. Thank you.
People are into this kind of thing. Couldn't be a nicer bloke to do it with.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. You guys are great. Thanks so much.
This is going to be a scary section, especially if you're on a diet.
This is Breakfast on the Beach, our Halloween edition of Breakfast on the Beach. Once a month, Chef Alan Miller comes in and feeds us. And for that, we are grateful. Good morning, Chef. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're very well. It's Halloween, and you've lived up to your pumpkin expectations today, it seems
well,
like.
Thank you.
So we're basically going to eat food while you listen to us eat food.
Nothing makes me happy as well.
Hey.
You know, people say, oh, you're very cynical about this, that ghosts or whatever, and the state of the world. But when it comes to food, I am beyond happy to see you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. And so glad to help.
So what, you've brought in some stuff that's Halloween connected.
Well, I wouldn't say more like autumn.
Seasonally connected.
Seasonally. Yes. It's seasonal grub.
Absolutely. And hopefully could inspire some people with their Halloween menu, their Thanksgiving menu. Mm-hmm. I mean,
of course,
fall is here.
Yes, absolutely. The first thing I made was, pumpkin chili. And it's a chili kind of taken to the next level. And usually it's made with ground beef and beans. And this is actually fresh roasted pumpkin with braised short rib.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I'm eating it.
Are you eating it?
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm just looking at it. It looks beautiful. And I'm telling you, dear listener, you can't do this.
No,
you can't make this.
How hard is this, Alan?
Well, I mean, it's just time consuming in terms of braising the short rib. It is a tougher cut of meat, so it takes like a few hours to braise. But if you have the right ingredients and a good beef stock and a good lager, you can't go wrong.
So how do you braise it?
Is it braised in beer?
It is.
Right.
Mm, what kind of lager did you use? This is good.
It was a local brand. It was like an Oktoberfest.
Okay.
Sort of, yeah.
So you braise it, and then after you braise it, how do you prepare the whole dish?
So I saute the onions and the pasilla peppers and garlic.
We didn't take a picture.
And I just kind of add everything in steps. So then the pumpkin was roasting in the oven. I cut it into cubes. I mean, it's easier to work with when you roast it versus boiling it. The peel comes off a lot more easy after roasting. And then I just add that to it and just simmer it with the spices. And
I imagine it comes out of the oven less watery as well and more cooked in its own juice.
Absolutely, a lot more concentrated.
Yeah, because the juice of this chili, if that's the right, or the salt, what do you call it? The roux, what do you call it?
It's more of the base.
The base,
right.
Is spicy and tasty and chili-y. Also, it actually smells a bit like a curry as opposed to a chili to my nose. But then again, you know,
well, there's cumin and coriander, as well as the ancho chili powder.
Right, it's that's really what I'm smelling.
Oh, thank you.
It's really great.
And it's got this ring. You know how when it's a pro job, everything looks beautiful, and there's some cilantro and pumpkin seeds and bits and pieces. And then just around the edge of the bowl, there's just a really thin layer of oil. It looks like oil. It's probably come off the beef, right?
Yes.
And that just tells you that it's been lovingly and professionally prepared.
Oh, thank you.
Really, this is good.
Why is chili such an autumn treat? Like, why is that a go-to?
I think it's more of a comfort food, and especially in colder weather, it's something that just warms you to the bone. And it's just a wonderful thing to eat.
Tomorrow on Oak Street is a bit of a chili cook-off. I almost wish I hadn't eaten this and brought it. I would have won.
Wow.
Tomorrow you can stop by and taste some chili at our KX booth. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
Well really done. Great.
Not much in the way of chili in it. It's not particularly potent.
Well, the thing that it's missing that most people would notice right away are the beans. I didn't use any beans. I just used the meat. And I've had chilies where it was just like the beef, braised beef and spices and finished with a little cocoa and cloves, which I like to do. Yeah. But this is not your average chili.
No.
Okay, should we go to the beverage or the dessert?
Let's go to the dessert.
Okay, let's go to the dessert. Yes. What'd you make?
This is a pumpkin orange cheesecake.
Oh, my God. I thought it was just pumpkin pie, but nay. Pumpkin orange cheesecake. So what goes into that?
It's pretty much your standard graham cracker crust with the addition of ginger, cinnamon, and then the base has the cream cheese, pumpkin puree. I added molasses and some orange zest.
Yeah.
And then just kind of give it a little kick to it. But I think the orange zest kind of helps to
the sweetness. This is unbelievable. Do people like listening to us eat? There's no way they do. There's no way people like this.
I don't care anymore. I'm done doing radio. I'm just eating.
So how on earth do you make that? I mean, this is a very different spin on a pumpkin pie.
Correct.
Yeah. So what goes into making this?
Well, I mean, you have the typical ingredients for a pumpkin pie, but in this case, the star of the show is the cream cheese, making the cheesecake. So. Yeah. And I just kind of adapted a pumpkin pie recipe and a few more additions, but
it's beautiful. Well, and as you say, the orange oil or whatever,
orange zest
really sets off the taste. Because pumpkin, in and of itself, the pumpkin spice, which is ubiquitous at this time of year, can be overpowering, a bit overwhelming.
Right, and I always find that orange and clove go very well together. But I think the orange just kind of cuts the sweetness
and
the density.
It's a much more sophisticated taste than your average pumpkin pie that you'd buy at a supermarket.
Oh, well, thank
you. This is much lighter, much more. There's a sort of depth of tastes here where you get one thing, you get the first taste on the tip of your tongue, and you can feel the pumpkin without it being an overwhelming flavor. Of course, the cream cheese is delicious and the fresh cream on top. And then you get a crunch of a pecan.
Absolutely.
There's a reason why cooking shows are typically on TV, because people can't see the beauty that we're eating, but you really got to take our word for it.
Also looks really good, too. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to hang around you guys because you guys are full of compliments, and I love that.
Well, you came in here and fed us, so yeah, I'd say so. ChefAlanMiller.com is where you can learn more about Chef Alan Miller. Let's try the drink, shall we?
Oh, yes. This is a pumpkin spice vodka martini.
Okay.
And basically just like making a simple syrup with sugar and water, addition of pumpkin. Spices, you know, simmer it for a few minutes, strain it, and then just set it aside, and you can just add your vodka to it.
This is one of those drinks that you'd order at like a craft cocktail bar, and it would come out 30 minutes later.
Oh, every time I go to one of those bars, I watch the bartenders, and I just get ideas.
Yeah, because, I mean, they spend a lot of time handcrafting a drink, and I feel like this is definitely one of those. I wish you could taste this sober.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, I've been sober 15 years, but, you know, to heck with it. Pass it over. No, I'm
kidding.
No. He's so gullible.
I got excited.
You can have the simple syrup.
I'm drinking the syrup, which I really shouldn't be drinking either. But it's again, your knowledge of spices is really brilliant, and just the mixture and the way that everything balances, and you can really taste everything that's there. Like, I can pick out the nutmeg. I can pick out a little bit of clove there. You know, and the pumpkin, again, is not overpowering. And I would say, if you asked me, do you like pumpkin? I'd say, well, I like an actual pumpkin on a plate, roasted, very nice.
Right.
But pumpkin spice, yeah, it's not for me.
Right.
But this has been just fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God.
So, Chef, are you available privately for Halloween? Are you still available?
Oh, yes. Yep.
You are? Okay.
In November is usually my slower month, but I'm up until November. But, Halloween, I'm available for any dinner parties or
you've got to book this guy.
I mean, people don't think about the fact that instead of going out and spending a bunch of money on a nice dinner, you can do the same thing in your house with somebody who's probably better and caters the menu to you. So I think that's awesome. ChefAlanMiller.com is where you can learn more, find his number, find his email, all of that, and get in touch with him for an autumn feast at your home. And I hope people do that. I mean, this is just great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. We'll be back shortly with Johnny Vados of Boingo Dance Party. We're KX93.5, and we're going to eat some more food.
Yes, no.
KX93.5. This is our morning show, Daily Scramble Live, the Halloween edition. We've reported on our ghost hunting trip this morning. We've tasted some pumpkin spice, and now we have the preeminent Halloween band in studio. Wouldn't you say so? I'd say so.
I'd say so.
Johnny Vados of Oingo Boingo Dance Party is here. Good morning, man. So good to have you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. And boy, the pumpkin food is amazing this time of year at the station.
You got to eat some, man. You get some pumpkin chili and some orange pumpkin cheesecake. It's insane.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Jimmy Alvarez is here from TNN Radio. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, what's happening, Tyler?
So Jimmy, of course, helps us organize some of these interviews, and he's the knowledgeable one about everything. So Jimmy's in studio to help us out.
I don't know about that, but I can honestly say that if I have any more pumpkin pie or whatever that is, I'm going to go into diabetic coma. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here because I'm having a little sugar rush right now. Just enjoying the moment here. Just I have no idea what we're doing.
Just have some more cider.
You just stay over there, Jason. We'll get through it. So you're tomorrow night, Halloween night, at the Coach House.
Right. It should be epic. We already did a show at the Canyon Club last week, and we're featuring the album Dead Man's Party. So we're starting to get into featuring an album for every big show so that we can play all the obscure tracks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be actually pretty crazy. The crowds have been really on fire as much as the band does, you know. So it's cool, man.
Well, dude, I was going to ask you this because we were talking about this off air.
Uh-huh.
When we do a lot of our social media posts, we play a lot of new bands and we get a lot of reaction, but we also play some of the classic stuff, bands from the 80s and 90s. And social media is really big about 80s and 90s because it's all new to some of these kids that are out there. Tell us a little bit about Oingo Boingo Dance Party, because it didn't start off with that name. Tell us how it got to where you are today, because that's what the main question we get is, how did they put this band back together?
Well, what happened was I kind of did the Fogerty thing, the Creedence Clearwater. I waited 10 years from our farewell show, and I waited 10 years. I figured a decade's long enough, and I started asking the guys if they wanted to play a show. So eventually, at first it was a tribute to Halloween because Danny Elfman owned the name, Oingo Boingo, so I couldn't say that. So anyway, it evolved and it was a big thing, and some of the people wanted to play all the obscure tracks. So it was just kind of like mishmash and forming and went through all kinds of different name changes and lawyer incidents with Danny, but we kind of straightened it all out because...
What, lawyer?
Because what happened was Danny was still stuck in the studio, and so, you know, it kind of... He was kind of shy about us running around saying we were Oingo Boingo or former members of. So we got it down to we could call it whatever we wanted as long as we said former members of Oingo Boingo. Okay, so then I said, well, how about if we call it Boingo Dance Party? And Danny goes, oh, yeah, that's okay. And then I got my agent and my manager were going, well, what else? Can we use Oingo Boingo? No, we really can't. And certain things happened in the recent year that kind of changed Danny's mind, and he goes, you know, heck with it. Why don't you go ahead? You can call it Oingo Boingo Dance Party. So, I mean, that's the name we kind of ended up with now, and it's kind of it's all the same. I really don't care what they call it. It could call it Boingo Dance Party. It could call it Johnny Vatos and his friends. But for the people at large, you know, they as long as they see that name Oingo Boingo, they go, oh, they must be there. So it's kind of worked out, and this is the first season that we've actually been able to use that name. Mm-hmm. So from here on out, let's see what happens, and let's see what parts of the world we'll be going to, because it's a worldwide phenomenon, the 80s music everywhere. And there's a school of rock thing with the kids and all that stuff. And I get letters all the time, like, can you send us the music? We really want to play Dead Man's Party.
Well, You know, one of the things that is very, very interesting that will lead up to this show, and this is the second question we get mostly, is back in the day, I remember going to these Halloween shows at Irvine Meadows or Universal Amphitheater, and I got to tell you, Tyler, it was the coolest thing. I mean, guys like Jason Fetty would be like drug out because they would be passed out from having so
sugar
much
high,
fun.
Tomes, exactly. So many Snickers bars before the thing, completely out of it.
So the question that we have is if you go to one of these Boingo shows, because a lot of the kids that want to go to these things have it, what can they expect at one of those shows? Tell us what happened at Canyon Club.
Well, the whole thing that I kind of make sure that the music always has is the electricity and the charge in it. And when that kind of leaves me, then I think it's time to quit. So what you're going to get is a real exciting power pack show of pretty close to the way we did it at Irvine Meadows and all that stuff, just a little bit shorter because I'm a little older and playing 3 hours without a break is it's just not in my body anymore. So it's about 90 minutes, and we kick butt, and all the music is still so timely. It's still really a lot of fun. It came from a certain era, the 80s era, and not much has changed politically and all that stuff. So a lot of those songs have some really good meaning today.
Sure. We should mention we have some tickets to give away to the show that we're talking about. Again, Oingo Boingo Dance Party at the Coach House tomorrow night. Johnny Vados in studio. I wanted to ask, too, is it multiple generations of people showing up to this? Are you noticing kids and adults?
That's what is amazing. People from 15 years old up to 55 and 60 years old. You know, it's actually pretty amazing. I don't know where it's come from, but the last couple of years, there's been a certain late high school to 21-year-old group that's been like the old days. They're going, "What are you doing?" And they were running into them at record stores and all kinds of cool places where those young kids like to hang out.
Well, I was telling Johnny off air that that's one of the things that's interesting about social media, and KX93.5 does such a good job at that, is that you put out a song on any of our, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and you get a lot of instant response. And we do the same thing. We do it on the weekends, but we also play a lot of 80s and 90s bands. And I got to tell you, man, when we put any Oingo Boingo music, we get some great response. And then mostly, like, a lot of the younger kids have not heard this kind of music. I had a guy on, actually, that I respect. He's maybe in his late 20s, early 30s, and I played Who Do You Want to Be right off the live album.
Yeah.
And he'd never heard it before. He said, "Oh my God, that's really good. Who is that?" You know, so
there you go.
I mean, the music speaks for itself, I think. So I agree with you that it's really, really good and still relevant music.
It's totally infectious, actually. I mean, and that groove is a very sort of Southern California punk, ska, almost all kind of reggae tinge kind of vibe to it.
Sure.
And it's totally infectious for any age. And you can either tap your foot if you're as old as me, or you can pogo if you're as old as Jimmy. So, you know,
there you
Tyler.
Go.
But is there much theatrics in the show? Is it just really just about the band? Because you started out as a theatrical group back in the 70s. Right.
It was very theatrical. And now the only thing theatrical is all the little things that shake and move on our bodies.
It's your Johnny Vato's body circus.
That's right.
Do you dress up, though? Or
I do. I do a Samoan slap dance on myself in the middle of a drum solo. It's really good. No, we all dress up for Halloween. And what's really cool is that, hey, you know, if you're 18 or over, you can call in and get some free tickets. So how's that going to work?
Yeah, okay. So people can text in at 949-715-KXFM. That's 949-715-5936. I mean, what's better than seeing Dead Man's Party in entirety on Halloween night? There's not a better music show around.
That's where you want to be.
So that's the Coach House tomorrow. Text us and we'll choose a very limited amount of winners, only a couple. So 949-715-5936. Send a text and you can go see the Samoan slap dance tomorrow.
Yes, right.
That's great. Just imagine people going, listen to the record, going, "Wow, what's that sound?" Drummers especially. You know what I mean? Drummers are going, "What's that? What kind of skin is that?" Well, I'll tell you what kind of skin that is. It's mine.
It's Mexican skin. You know, thanks for having me here. This is a great radio station. I'm glad you guys are so in touch, and and the keeping all of that alive, you know?
Well, that's what we try to do, is connect this multiple generations of music fans. We call our format generational alt-rock. There's tons of people who like Oingo Boingo who also like, you know, Mumford and Sons or whatever.
It
spans generations, and there's no reason why it should be relegated to a format.
Terrible example, though, Mumford and Sons.
I don't know. It's the first thing that came to mind.
I hate
Mumford and Sons. Horrible.
That was a good choice.
I just named a popular band that I thought of.
I know. With Boingo and Muse. Boingo and Muse.
Muse is
Johnny
okay.
is the Muse. There
Boingo and Sons. Great story, though, about Danny Elfman. I'm glad you smile, and he's clearly still a friend of yours.
Yeah, I'm really glad for him because, you know, he's been sitting in the studio for so long, and he is a great performer. And so I'm going to go see him on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Of course, I called him. I go, you know, I don't make enough money. I can't afford the tickets. How about it? He goes, okay, sure. I said, that's as much as I make at a... playing for a wedding, you know.
But this was the thing. His brother started the band, so it was really in his blood, and it was important to him.
Yeah.
This gradual letting go.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really happy for him.
Yeah.
It makes me excited as a friend, you know.
Yeah, it's great. Good story.
Well, one of the things I always tell people when I tell them I'm going to talk to Johnny Vatos, he's the only guy that I know that I can honestly say hangs out with Elfman, hangs out with Clooney, and hangs out with Tarantino.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Quentin just... You know, he's hard to hang out with. He never stops talking.
Dusk Till Dawn. You are like one of the funniest scenes ever, if you ever have a chance.
John, you in that movie?
Yeah, the Titty Twister Bar. That was the name of the bar, the vampire bar, and we blow up at the end. We blow up real good.
I'm so sad I haven't seen it. Wow.
It's a great movie. It really is. Yeah. So I always tell people, he knows Clooney.
Well, if there's not anything else, I'm going to play Dead Man's Party. We got to do that, right?
That's it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome, man. Thank you for making time for us early in the morning. And again, tomorrow night, Coach House, 8 p.m., Oingo Boingo Dance Party. You can text us at 949-715-KXFM. Johnny Vatos, Jimmy Alvarez, Jason Fetty. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.